were wandering around here and there. There was no sickness among them. While they wander around, they get more stouter, they get more stronger. That's what the Navajo belief is. When you live in one place in the village, that means sickness, you see. When you live in one place, one person gets sick from something, the other fellow gets it. And then it goes around the camp, around the village. And that's why the Pueblos die so much. Something kills them, like disease or something like that. It kills them off. That's why they don't increase. But the Navajos, they wander around here and there. That's why they're overgrown their reservation. That's what the Navajo says themselves.
They've overgrown their, they've outgrown their reservation?
Reservation. The reservation lays over here about around just this side of Gallup. The reservation line runs there. And we're way out here. Clear out to this side of Albuquerque. You know, at Cayoncito?
Mm-hmm.
I was planning to go to Cayoncito this morning, but I didn't have enough gas to go. And Alamo, there's another Navajo tribe. In Rayma, there's another Navajo tribe over there. And over on Zuni Mountain, on the other side, there's Navajo tribe. All the way down to St. John, that's outside the Navajo reservation. And clear down to Torreon, this side of Cuba. That's where the end of the Navajo people lives there. That's where the checkerboard area started from.
The what?
Checkerboard area. You know the land? What they call a checkerboard area. One belongs to the Indian and the other one belongs to the government.
I see.
So that's what they call the checkerboard area. It starts from way down from Torreon back towards the Navajo Reservation. And they're overgrown up to Wiffen Mountain. There's a lot of Navajo live around there. And some of the Navajo people lives over in Utah. See, part of the Navajo Reservation lives just on this side of Utah. Just barely went into Utah. But there's some more over. And they live even as far as to Winslow, Arizona, in the Williams, alongside the highway. See, they're overgrown the reservation that way. And some of them are overgrown towards Farmington, Shiprock. They live all around that area. So they claim there's about 100,000 Navajos today.
100,000?
100,000, yeah. See, during the chairman vote, the Navajo chairman vote, they counted most of this votes that they grew into 100,000. See, and there's some more still increasing.
Did, Tom, did you ever know John Collier?
Yeah.
You knew him?
John Collier, yeah. He's a superintendent down the other side of Grand Canyon. There's what they call a Blackfeet Indians. He's a superintendent over there now, with one of our Navajo boy from here. His name is, you know, Tom Dodd Jr.?
I know of him. Yeah. I don't know him personally.
Yeah, he's over there with John Collier now.
Tom, did you ever know, John Williams at the BIA? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know him?
Uh-huh.
He's a Creek Indian.
Yeah, he's a Creek Indian.
Yeah. I asked him the other day if he knew you, and he said he thought he did, and I described him as, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he remembers it.
A lot of them knows me. A lot of these old timers.
He's an old timer.
Yeah, he's an old timer. He's got white hair now.
Can you tell me anything about the Creek Indians?
Well, the Creek Indians is way too far off. They once had a little war between with the Navajos, but that was not for what they had done to each other. But it was between the Ute Indians first. With the Navajos, yeah, the Ute Indian was fighting the Creek Indians, and the Navajos helped the Creek to fight the Utes. So the Ute and the Creek, they get along fine. So they were not very bad image. They didn't fight much. They used to, but since the Ute Indian was winning against the Creek, and the Navajos helped. And that's where the partnership came in with the Creek Indian. And from there on, some of these songs from the Creek songs, a lot of these Navajos, they know it now. A lot of them, they go by the songs over there. The way the drum beats. See, according to our drum beating, in all the tribe, there are different songs the way they beat him. So the time when they have the ceremony over there in Gallup, we just know which is coming by the drums.
Oh, you can actually tell?
You can actually tell.
I never realized that.
That's a whole different kind of way of beating the drum. It's just like you're telling somebody, you're talking to somebody. The drum goes like that. The Navajo and the Cheyenne used to talk to each other by the drum a long time ago. When there was a Cheyenne coming, they start their drum. They tell the Navajo the Cheyenne is coming to visit her, to talk about something. They give the drum some sound. And some of the Navajos scout. They used to scout around way, maybe 10 miles away. And the scout, the one that scout around, he knows all these songs, the sounds, how the way it should be heard off the drum. He could tell just what he's saying. Used to be like that. But there's very little known now, not too much. They used to hit a drum a certain way to tell if the Sioux are coming to visit or to make war or something like that. See, you could hear the drum long ways. Especially when it's wet like this, you could hear the drum long ways. Sometimes they used to tell by the dogs. You know, they claim the dog, the earth, this earth. They said the dog used to hear long ways, for miles away. When the dog hears the drum, way off maybe, 20 miles away, the dog always jump up and start to bark.
Tyler, do you know any stories about dogs giving away the position of the Indians?
Yeah.
Or tell me some of those.
Well, long time ago, what they call in the Navajo, what they call a talking god. He used to own a lot of dogs, different kinds of dogs. Maybe big dogs up to tiny little ones. You know, some of those tiny little dogs used to not grow too big. Some of them get this big, so high and so long. They call different kinds of names. Some is Hastiliyaj, and some is Siliyaj, and some is Hlechakloy. See, they got different names, just like your white people name dogs. In those days, there was a clan called a talking god.
A clan?
A clan, yeah. They came from out of a clan, what they call a talking god. They used to like dogs, just like the cat story. The cats got the same story like the dogs too. This talking god used to eat dogs, just like we eat sheep. They used to raise dogs a long time ago. And then finally, the clan came in, different kind of clans, like bear clan, rain clan, lightning clan, and mountain clan, water clan, saltwater clan, deer clan, eagle clan. It started to grow out, different clan. And here is where the talking god start to give their dogs away because these dogs, they ate too much, and there's nothing to feed the dogs no more. And he'd think about, maybe some of these days this dog will eat me up myself, so I might probably give him away somewhere. So they had a big ceremony, just like they got in Shiprock Sunday. This ceremony was set up there where they call Black Canyon, a rock Black Canyon. It's way on the west side of Shiprock. There's a great big wall of rock. It's looks like a black canyon. It's black with the water mark, you know, the water mark. It makes black on the water, on the rock, the water does. That's where the ceremony took place. So he took all these dogs over there. And then he held them there just a little ways from the ceremony. And one of the runners went down there to tell the people that who was coming, talking god was coming with his dogs. And he wants to give dogs away. So he told a certain clans of people, he appointed them, we'll give you a dog, and we'll give you a dog, and you'll give you a dog. And the dogs are all named, a certain kind of names. And that's where the dog was given away, in that black canyon. And then from there on, whoever the dog was given to, they left with their dogs. And the talking god the talking god just took the little one. And he took the little white puppy, little one. That's the only dog he's got today. That's what the story goes, by the sand canyon. That's where the dog has been given away, long time ago. And these dogs, the one that we see here and there, there's different kinds of dogs. We can tell which dog that used to belong to a certain clan, like an eagle clan, has a beer, a dog that has a lot of beer, you know, just like a mushroom, bushy nose. That's a deer clan dog. An eagle dog has a smooth head and a long nose. And we can tell, most of these dogs are being told that way. That used to be a deer clan dog. And that's the way the dogs are called now. That's the way dogs been given away. The ceremony took place, say about somewhere around a little over 1,000 years ago. Maybe 1,500 years ago. Maybe more. Nobody knows. But the story comes from about 15,000 years back. When the talking god gave dogs away. That's where all the dogs came from. Before that, nobody didn't have no dogs around their camp. Since the talking god came.
The god had all the dogs. No one else had a dog.
No one else had a dog.
Then he gave them away.
To different clans. Yeah.
The eagle clan.
Yeah, eagle clan, mountain clan, bear clan, water clan, salt clan. There's a whole kind, a lot of different kinds of dogs. But he kept a little one. Call it Castell. And then later on, he sent that little dog away. Long time ago, this Acomo people, they used to have all kinds of jewelry, pretty jewelry, and they don't want to give the jewelry away. Well, this talking god made magic to the dog, and he sent the dog to the Acomo people. See something like this one here, coming?
Yeah.
And then he sent it away, and he told the dog, you go to the Acomo village and stay around there. The people will like you. The minute they put the turquoise around your neck, we bring the turquoise back. That's the way he talked to his dog, and the little puppy went away. And he went to Acomo. And the little puppy, he told the little puppy that if they catch you up, you stand on the rainbow, and the rainbow will take you overhead. The Acomo people will be walking under you, and then you can be overpassed them by the rainbow. So that's what the way the dog went. And then this is a magic story, like they had back up there. That's the way their belief is, see? When you see the rainbow, you don't have to point it with your finger, with this one. You have to point it with your thumb. Because a long time ago, before this was ever happened, they used to point it with this finger. See, there's a rainbow over there.
Does it have to be on the right hand?
Yeah.
Either hand? But the first finger.
They used to point with the first finger. That was a long time before the dog was not ever sent up there.
Now they had to point with the thumb.
Yeah. Now today it's a thumb. So it's all over the reservation. You don't point it with this. You have to point it with your thumb to the rainbow. If you point it with this, that's bad luck. If you point it that way, that's called richness. You get rich. And sometimes the rainbow will drop over you. Drop over your head. Sometimes it does it. Just once in a great while. But when it does, it don't blind you. Every place you look, it might be red this way. If you look this way, it'd be yellow. If you look this way, it'd be purple. If you look this way, it'd be blue. And then that's the time when the rainbow's on you. Every place you look, it'll be different colors. On the ground, or towards the sky, or towards the cloud, it'll give you different kinds of color. Everywhere you look. When it passes away, it gets back like you are right here. That's the time the rainbow gives you luck. And then you get rich in good times.
Do you know anybody that ever did that and got rich eventually?
You know, there's a fellow named by Arvizo family. They lived down...
Arvizo?
Arvizo.
Arvizo?
Arvizo, yeah. You know, the man that used to be one of the great interpreters, Jesus Arvizo?
Oh, yeah.
His boy.
Oh, his son?
His son, yeah.